You survived your Monday. You did it. We've got this. Now the rest of the work week is a breeze, right? Right? Let's hope so. I'm telling you, they fly by in October. As much as sometimes I get resentful of sports for taking up every minute of every day in October. How often I'm apologizing to my husband and the rest of my family. I'm sorry I'm AWOL in October. This is the toughest month of the year. Now, I know there's a payoff, of course. We'll crown a World Series champion. This is the time of the NFL and college football seasons where you get great rivalries and teams are settling in. So there's a lot to get excited about. It's just, it's nonstop. Hashtag sports never stop. And now here we are into the final four of Major League Baseball, and we've got some great matchups. I'm sure there are just as many people rooting for the Subway Series as there are rooting against the Subway Series. But the Yankees starting out their bid to get back to the World Series against the Guardians on Monday night in the Bronx. Did you notice people wearing hats and coats and bundled up? Even the guys that were on the field, blowing on their hands at times and trying to move around to keep warm. There was a brisk wind that made temps feel like they were in the upper 30s during this game. So October is definitely bringing a chill in the air, but absolutely loved it. And our friend Ricky Ricardo, he was there.
Se lo llevó, se poncha Hedges, se acabó el juego y esta es otra, la primera en la serie. Victoria para los Yankees de Nueva York con marcador final esta noche de 5-2.
Ricky Ricardo, longtime Spanish voice of the New York Yankees as they grab the opener over the Guardians. And he joins us now here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Terrific to listen to you, Ricky. Also great to catch up with you. The Yankees fan base and the team itself has been waiting a long time to get a championship series back in the Bronx. So how did it sound?
Well, the electricity was back in the Bronx. It was a cool night, a very cool night. It had that feeling of October crisp air and baseball when it really, really counts. The Cleveland Guardians are a team that the Yankees have dealt with in postseason in the past, so it was a familiar opponent. Many believe that the Tigers and the Royals did the dirty work to the Yankees this offseason by eliminating both Houston and the Baltimore Orioles. So the Yankees, who have had success against the Guardians, look like a confident bunch tonight. The crowd looked like they expected a win out of the Yankees, so they came through with the win. Everybody's pleased. Now, tomorrow night, really, the only starting pitcher that the Guardians have that could really, you know, name-wise, step up to one of the Yankee starters in Tanner Bibee, we'll see against Gerrit Cole, obviously the Yankees' ace, if they can head to Cleveland with a two-game lead.
How would you describe the start from Carlos Rodon?
Refreshing, because, and believe me, he needed it. It was interesting. Many questions were asked about his frame of mind, about, you know, being a little bit too amped up or hyped up in his start against the Royals, where he came out like a ball of fire, striking guys out left and right, but he seemed to almost like run out of gas in the fourth inning. He was kind of early when, you know, it looked like his energy level really dropped because he was too amped up to that start in the, you know, the first time out against the Royals. Tonight he was much more under control. You could tell his body language was different. He was approaching hitters and results. His whole outlook after a strikeout, instead of, you know, all the mannerisms, you know, and all the machinations, he was much more in control of his emotions tonight, which is a very big deal with Rodon. Six innings tonight, just the home run. That's all he gave up. Now, if the Yankees can get this kind of production from Rodon, where he goes deep into the game, and as you know, Amy, going deep into a game these days is five, six innings is, oh, you know, he gave us a long quality start, especially in these playoffs where you're watching managers go to their pens in the third and fourth innings. But if he can deliver this kind of an outing again moving forward with Cole, and now we're going to see Lee Hill later on in this series, and Clark Schmidt, who's been very, very good. I give the Yankees a big-time shot to get past this series and into whoever plays, comes in from the National League to play in the World Series.
As you use the phrase amped up, I'm thinking of Joey Cantillo, who had the two wild pitches and then allowed two runners to cross the plate. I actually said that out loud in my living room. I wonder if he's nervous and a little bit too hyped up, because that seemed to be a turning point in this game, Ricky.
In total, five wild pitches. I felt, kind of bad for Bo Naylor, the first catcher tonight. They used Austin Hedges, too, later on in the game, and he had a couple of wild pitches come get by him, too. In that big rally, the Yankees scored a few runs. They had the home run by Soto, and that was the only hit in the inning. Everything else was either a walk or runners advanced on wild pitches. So it was one of those nights where the offense really didn't break out. Both teams had six hits. The Yankees had the one error, which was the obstruction later on against Tim Hill. So it really wasn't a breakout night offensively. It's almost to a certain extent that the Guardians shot themselves in the foot.
It did feel like maybe there was a bit of anxiety with the Guardians. Their first ALCS is 2016, which means most of these guys have not been part of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the relievers that came in, you could tell everybody was a little bit too hyped up. The first reliever that you just mentioned, he's a kid from Hawaii. Those pitches weren't even close, Amy. Those pitches were bouncing 2-3 feet in front of the plate. And when you come into a situation like that where your job is to just get through that inning and you throw more gas on the fire, obviously the emotions from the young man had to play a big role.
We're always excited to have Ricky Ricardo with us after hours with Amy Lawrence, fresh off the Spanish broadcast of Game 1 of the ALCS in the Bronx. It's been pretty impressive to see what Giancarlo Stanton has done so far this postseason. And in the past few years, when it felt like they didn't have enough offense, I know as long as he's healthy, he's pretty consistent in October. How much has he done, I guess, to drag the Yankees with him until the rest of the bats were also working?
We're still waiting for Judge to have a real breakout game that might get him out of his funk. You know, Anthony Volpe, nobody talks about Anthony Volpe. We haven't seen him do anything with the bat in quite a long time. Gleyber Torres has held up his end of the bargain out of that leadoff spot. He's been very, very good, although sometimes you get him in big situations and he goes after first pitches and maybe he should have a little bit more discipline in big situations at the plate. But you are right. Giancarlo Stanton, for all the frustration that he has brought Yankee fans during the regular season, we've all been waiting for that 59 home run season like he had at the end of his tenure with the Miami Marlins. We've been waiting to see that monstrous big season from Giancarlo. I'm not sure, Amy, if we're ever going to see that. He still has a few years left in that extremely long contract that he signed with Miami that got inherited by the Yankees a few years ago. But as long as he's going to produce in big games in October, the way he's done right now, you can tell by his body language in the clubhouse, he's a very confident player in the month of October. And he's been a little bit more limber even. You watched him steal a base earlier this postseason, which, was unheard of during the regular season. Running down the line tonight, he looked a little bit more limber too. So Giancarlo Stanton has been the example to follow. And you watched Soto, who had good numbers against Alex Cobb. He was 7 out of 11 with a couple of home runs lifetime against Alex Cobb. He gets him again here tonight. But Giancarlo Stanton has been really the guy that has had the team on his shoulders. And hopefully at some point we get some more out of Judge and maybe some more out of some of the guys down lower into the lineup like Verdugo and Volpe, as I mentioned, who really haven't done much.
How does Judge respond when people ask him, is there something wrong and why aren't you coming through and why not the big hit? Those types of questions.
I am so impressed by him, Amy. I'm glad you asked that because he has got such a mature, professional approach, to questions about his productivity and lack thereof, obviously. And it's not just this year. It goes back. Remember, the Yankees weren't even in the postseason last year. So you've got to really, go into the memory banks to realize that Judge just has not been the same player in postseason play. But the way he deals with everything, look, he never gets too high when he's going great. He never gets too low and too negative when things are not going well for him. He's very even-keeled, mild-mannered, look, if there's a storm brewing inside of him one way or the other, you're never going to tell from the facade on the outside, which is something that is so impressive about him. His outward look, his outward approach to you when you ask him, you know, either you're about to hit your next record-breaking home run or why the heck aren't you doing anything, you get the same guy. The consistency in his approach in good times and his bad is just very, very impressive.
You get the impression that at this point in his career, what he cares most about is winning, Ricky. He honestly just wants to win. And obviously the Yankees aren't here if not for Aaron Judge. But it seems like it matters far more to him, the final outcome, than individual stats.
You know, Amy, I've watched him from the time he first was invited to big league camp in Tampa. When he hit a ball, I remember the Yankees in a spring training game were playing the Philadelphia Phillies. And it was 1-0. You know, in spring training games, the managers, if it's tied after the ninth inning, they'll just say, hey, we're done. You know, we ran out of pitchers or whatever it might be. Let's call it a day. The game is tied. But it was 1-0 in the ninth. And here comes this kid, Aaron Judge, wearing number 99. He comes up and hits a ball. I don't know if you've ever been to the Clearwater facility where the Phillies play. But the highway 19, is out beyond the center field fence. A few hundred feet, or maybe 100 feet behind the wall in center field. He hit a ball in that ninth inning that landed on that highway. It eventually landed on Highway 19.
Whoa.
And it tied the game at one. And everyone around there looked at, what the heck was that we just saw? From the time that I met him there, when he was first invited to Major League camp, to the man that I see now, you see the maturation process, not just as a player, but as a human being, as a man, and now as a captain of the team. You have watched him become that responsible figurehead, leadership type of personality that he has really embraced since he was named the captain. He has really grown into it, and you're absolutely right. Winning is the main objective for Aaron Judge. If he contributes, he's pleased. If he's not, and his teammates are picking him up, he's just as happy for them. Obviously, he's a proud athlete. He wants to contribute. I'm going to bet you the rant that he's going to at some point. But winning is the key thing to him. Putting a ring on, 28th World Series championship, that's priority number one for Aaron Judge.
Ricky Ricardo is with us, fresh off game one of the ALCS after hours with Amy Lawrence. They're definitely compiling the walks, right? So they've got 36 walks now in just the 5 postseason games. What does that tell you?
They're taking very disciplined at-bats. They're going back to, if you remember years ago when those Yankees-Red Sox games, those classic year after year after year, Yankee-Red Sox games used to be 4 hours, sometimes 4 hours, 15 minutes. And both teams worked the count, fouled pitches off, and got in, tried anyway to get into the other team's bullpen as early as possible. That was the game plan in the Joe Torre and into the Joe Girardi years. You're seeing that again. You're watching Yankee hitters work the count. They take the time out when it's strategically the best time to do it, and they're at best. Soto is the king of this. Every Juan Soto at bat is a chess match against the opposing pitcher, the umpire, a conversation with the catcher. He owns every at bat in every way that you can imagine, and that has rubbed off on a lot of the Yankee hitters, where every at bat is a chess match. It's a duel to the death with that pitcher. They work the count as deep as possible. They foul pitches off. Yankee games are lasting longer than some of the other postseason games because of the quality of at bat that each and every guy is taking. A lot of walks, a lot of foul balls, waiting to get the right pitch to hit, and you're watching the discipline at home plate really manifest itself here in the postseason.
What's dangerous about the Guardians?
The bullpen. They've got a couple of big-time players. Jose Ramirez, which is an MVP candidate and obviously their best player, has been kept under wraps, first by the Detroit Tiger pitching in that series. And again tonight, it came up as the tying run late in the game with a couple of men on in the eighth inning, and they were able to get him on a little dribbler to second base. He is a top-10 player in all of Major League Baseball. Josh Naylor, over 100 RBIs. If you can shut down about two, three of their guys in the lineup, then really their other strength is their bullpen. They've got an outstanding bullpen. Hard throwers, guys that throw strikes. You'll see tomorrow night, you know, even with their, you saw it tonight where Cobb came out of the game very early because Stephen Vogt does not mind getting into his bullpen at whatever point in the ballgame. They've got a tremendous set of arms in that pen. That's really the one thing to be concerned about with the Guardians is that if they get a lead, they're coming in with a lot of hard-throwing, very talented young bullpen arms. But if you can control the Ramirez's and Kwan's and Naylor's offensively, there's really not much beyond that.
Ricky Ricardo will be on the mic for the Spanish broadcast of every game still remaining in the Yankee season. It's always good to have him with us after hours with Amy Lawrence. You're also the Spanish voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're coming off a victory over the Browns. Man, this was a little tense until the end. What stands out about their latest win?
Ooh, it's funny. Someone mentioned to me yesterday when I was doing the postgame show, when I was going through the scoreboard, where the Commanders, who obviously are leading the NFC East, lost to the Ravens. And my guest said, it almost feels like the Commanders had a great loss and the Eagles had a terrible win. It makes no sense, but the Eagle win against the Browns was a very ugly win. You had the antics by the head coach, Nick Sirianni, engaging some of the fans. You know, Philadelphia fans, Amy, as you know, they can be very, very hard on their own. Now,
yes,
if you win in Philadelphia, you bust your hump in Philadelphia, you give 100% effort, and if you're real with them and you're not phony, and they can tell the difference, then you'll never have to buy a drink in that town again, like Nick Foles, for example. Some of the fans were getting on the team. They started a fire Nick Sirianni chant, and Nick unfortunately let his emotions get the best of him towards the end of the game and started engaging with the fans, going back at them. Some of the fans that were shouting some things or maybe booing during the game, he did apologize during his presser on Monday, but sometimes Nick Sirianni needs to get a hold of his own emotions a little bit better than he's done in the past. But the team is still trying to work itself out. Vic Fangio, new defensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, new on the offensive side. Through five games in these first 6 weeks, they've already had their bye week, and they'll face the Giants this coming Sunday in their first division game of the season. But they're not quite where they want to be just yet. Jalen Hurts, not the same guy we saw a couple of years ago. Having A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back was huge, but the loss of Dallas Goedert in this game on Sunday against the Browns with a hamstring issue, and Jordan Mailata, their outstanding left tackle, that's going to be an issue going forward here in the next couple of weeks.
Still, though, how good to have both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back on the field together.
Oh, it's great. And then when you pair that with how good Saquon Barkley has been, and Saquon, with these guys injured, has been a savior. The Eagle offense has been sputtering except for one Saquon Barkley, a tremendous signing in the offseason by Howie Roseman. And having that trio back, it kind of reminds you of Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin, and, you know, that whole group when they had those triplets in Dallas. It's the Eagle version of that with Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Dallas Goedert is the perfect complement, but we had Grant Calcaterra step in and made a couple of big-time catches out of the tight end position on Sunday against the Browns. Look, he's not Dallas Goedert. But you're absolutely right. The confidence level for Jalen Hurts goes way, way up when he knows he can throw the ball in the direction of a guy like A.J. Brown, and 9 times out of 10, he's going to come down with it.
The whole division's kind of jumbled up together, except for maybe the Giants. Ricky, what do you think about the East?
I think eventually, when the smoke clears, the Eagles were favored to win the division. Now, they'll have a couple of big-time battles against the Commanders. There's a Thursday night, I think it's about 4 or 5 weeks away. The Eagles will welcome the Commanders in on one of those prime Thursday nights, which is going to be a huge game. They'll see them again later on. But don't discount the Giants. This is a week-to-week league, Amy, as you know. All division games are battles. They're tough. This Sunday afternoon coming up at the Meadowlands, and Brian Daboll is going to have his team ready. They're going to have their backs against the wall. The Eagles coming off, like I said, a very non-satisfactory kind of win that left kind of a bad taste in their mouth against the Browns this past Sunday. They're going to be looking for a better performance. It's going to be a pretty good game, I think, coming up on Sunday.
Those rivalries are delicious. Ricky Ricardo will call the game for the Eagles on their Spanish broadcast. And, of course, is mixing in the ALCS. Man, I hope you don't have any conflicts. What happens if you've got a Yankees and Eagles on the same day?
No, luckily this year the National League is playing on Sundays. The Yankees, even if they get to, even if a sixth game is necessary, that would be on Monday. So we'll fly back from Cleveland on Saturday night, if there is a fifth game. If there's a fifth game, we'll fly back from Cleveland on Saturday night. Not a long flight. So I'll be able to run over to the Meadowlands. I'm about, you know, my apartment's about 15 minutes away from MetLife Stadium. So we'll be home late Saturday night. I'll get up early Sunday, run over to the Meadowlands, do the game, Eagles-Giants. I'll do my WIP show, part of our Odyssey family down in Philadelphia, but I do that, you know, remotely anyway, and then we'll get ready if need be for a sixth game on Monday night at Yankee Stadium. Obviously, this time of year, I'm pretty busy.
You can hear him everywhere, as it turns out, ALCS and NFL and online at @RR_RicardoFAN. Ricky Ricardo has got the Spanish broadcast of both Yankees and Eagles, is a busy guy, so we appreciate these few minutes. Ricky, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Amy, anytime for you.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate that as well. So that's two guests in a row who have talked about our show and given us sweet compliments. We are humbled by that. Thank you. At A-Law Radio, also our Facebook page, we should be getting close to the time when we reveal your candidates for TD of the week. But before that, how about this idea that Bill Belichick could be the next head coach of the New York Jets? I told you, no way. There is no way. Pete and I, we don't agree or didn't agree on this when we talked about it last week. Well, Belichick weighed in on the Monday Night Mannings. It was actually really entertaining with him in the first half. Now that they figured out the balance where they're not always talking over each other, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the shotgun, Hall to his right on 3rd and 16. Back to pass. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep. Rainbow down the field looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted. Taron Johnson, welcome back. A humongous interception by the nickel corner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brown on the Bills radio network. Yeah, Taron Johnson with a very athletic play, heads up moment as well. He tumbles over the top of Mike Williams to get that interception. It didn't completely seal the game, but it did take away the Jets' last great opportunity. And also, I'm not sure if you've seen some of the All 22 videos or the overhead shots, maybe you've seen some of the videos online. Because there was so much space underneath, there were a couple of guys, including, I think it was Breece Hall, who was wide open in the flat. So if Aaron Rodgers checks out of that, and I know Mike Williams, he fell down, so that changes a lot. But because Aaron Rodgers was going for broke and missed seeing what was available underneath, actually, there could have easily been a first down. At least it looks that way. There could have been a first down if he had taken the easy one underneath as opposed to going with the deep chuck downfield. Because as Breece Hall is kind of going out to the right, it's coming out of the flat, he's wide open. There isn't a Bills defender within 7-8 yards of him. And then in front of him, nothing but green grass. For 15 yards, there's nothing in front of him except for wide open spaces. And so we saw Aaron Rodgers underthrow Mike Williams, and then Johnson comes over the top to get that interception. And yeah, he was talking about it after the game on Bills radio.
We caught a cover two, and I was basically playing the half-field safety. I see Aaron. My hips are turned to the left side, so I had to do a speed turn to find the ball, and he ended up throwing it to the outside, and I made the play.
He definitely did make the play. Tumbled over the top of the receiver and caught it before it hit the ground. So good stuff with not just the Bills and the Jets radio networks. I enjoy both of them. I listen to both of them, as well as Kevin Harlan. I kind of mix it up so I can get different perspectives. But also,
That was a thick pick!
Unfortunately, we did not get a thick pick, but it's still worth dropping in there. I also appreciate that this was a game that went down to the wire with scoring, at least in the first half, right? In the second half, we had as many missed field goals as we had actual points put on the board or actual scoring opportunities. So just two missed field goals and two made field goals in the second half, which was a bit of a pain. Now, I watched the Monday Night Mannings for the first half. I was pleasantly surprised to hear multiple references by Peyton Manning to Karate Kid, the movie I've probably seen more than any other movie besides Star Wars. Sweep the leg, baby. Karate Kid is one of my favorite movies all time for a lot of reasons. It's got all the elements of a terrific flick and the drama and just the all the various things that you need. A flawed hero, if you will, a duel in which he's nearly defeated at the end. A woman, and I love Elizabeth Shue. She's one of my favorite actresses. It was just such a great movie at the time that I was in high school. Anyway, Karate Kid has the famous line, sweep the leg, which was an instruction from the evil head of the opposing dojo to the opponent for Daniel LaRusso in what was their huge, was it countywide karate battle, karate match? Anyway, so sweep the leg was something Peyton dropped multiple times on Monday night. That was awesome. So I was psyched to hear that. And as it turns out, Bill Belichick is a Karate Kid fan as well, because he had some type of a patch, you know, the patches that the Cobra Kai wore. He had a towel that was a replica of the patch for the Cobra Kai, which was fun. But also he weighed in on the Jets. Now, I thought for the most part, he was relatively self-controlled when it came to talking about the Jets. He stuck more to what he was seeing on the field and talked about firing the coach. And while he didn't think that was a good idea, essentially stayed away from any biting remarks about the Jets until they got later in the game. And they're talking about the organization and, well, I should say later in the first half, they're talking about the organization and their chances of rallying from where they are now and becoming a winning team and all of that jazz with the moves they've made. And this is Belichick's input.
That's kind of what it's been there at the Jets. You know, barely won over 30% in the last 10 years. So, you know, the owner being the owner, just ready, fire, aim.
I told you last week that there was no chance, as in a snowball's chance in hell, that Bill Belichick would take the job with the New York Jets. And Pete, you thought there might be a chance. Why?
Well, he wants to coach again. And they have pieces in place where they can still win if they had the proper coach in place.
You think?
Yep.
I'm starting to lose confidence in Aaron Rodgers. Well, I'm not sure he's the right guy for what they're trying to do anymore.
I think the system is broken right now because you changed the coach, and they needed to change the coach. It was pretty obvious they needed to change the coach. But whenever you do that, it's usually a like an interim, as you could tell, it's an interim period for them. I don't know if you're going to get the best out of them right now. I don't know if it'll be that way the rest of the year. But a guy like Belichick, if you put him in place, if Rodgers wants to come back 1 year, and he wants another ring, he'll do it. If the money's right and the power's right.
We couldn't be on more opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the Jets. I don't think firing Robert Saleh was the right move. I don't think it did anything. What normally happens with a team that's got an interim head coach, and Jeff Ulbrich did talk about the fact that his team has been so supported this week and it's worked really hard, they get this major boost. Now, I thought the Jets played better, and they still lost based on 1 of 4 in the red zone, the turnover that Aaron throws at the end when he didn't need to. That's the second consecutive game in which he's thrown a deep ball that's been picked off, and that's how they clinched their loss. So I actually don't think they looked that much better. I did think the run game was a lot better, but I don't know that I thought they were a lot better in terms of overall being able to take steps forward as a winning team. The missed field goals were tough, of course, but in the second half, neither team really was able to do a whole lot with their offensive possessions. I didn't love what I saw. They tried, I suppose. The Bills' defense was tough. They definitely were able to control the line of scrimmage for a good portion of this game, but too many mistakes, too many, as Aaron calls it, moments in which they gave this away. It doesn't get easier from here for the New York Jets. So I don't know that Robert Saleh was the issue based on this game tonight. I do think that changing the play calling and changing the head coach all at the same time is kind of rough. But I don't know. The more I watch Aaron Rodgers and hearing Mark Ross, for instance, who's in player eval and scouting and joined us last week, he said he's been watching Aaron Rodgers decline for years. And to see that he hasn't had a 300-yard passing game in nearly 30 appearances, I mean, there's a lot that's dropped off with him. And I don't know, his, I don't want to say lack of rhythm, but the fact that he and Garrett Wilson are still not on the same page consistently, that's a big deal too. I don't know. Just, I'm not sure that this is a winning combo right now.
It may not be. It ultimately may not be. As I think it's proven that right now. It also doesn't help that he's always on the ground. You know, he's always getting tackled. He's always getting sacked. He's always getting pushed around, and he's getting his butt kicked by lack of or a young offensive line. So that doesn't help either. But he, as you've said with Mark Ross, he's on the decline. But can they salvage anything out of it to make a run? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can. The division is not as difficult as what a lot of people thought it would be, especially if Tua doesn't come back anytime soon. And even when he does, can the Dolphins dig out? So there's that, plus the Patriots. They've dropped 5 in a row since their season opener.
And plus the Bills aren't exactly superior right now. I mean, they're 4-2, but they could be beaten at any day.
4-2, and then for the Jets to be at 2-4, there's a little bit of separation there. So there's good news and there's bad news. The Jets have dropped all 3 of their games by a total of 10 points. So they were in the games, I suppose you can say. And the Rodgers picks at the end of the games, that's really kind of the final nail in the coffin. But at the same time, when you consider that one of their touchdowns was a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, which those are unlikely to happen again, that also, you kind of take that touchdown off the board, and maybe we're not looking at a game that's as close. They did have nearly 400 yards of offense, but still 1 for 4 in the red zone. So it's hit or miss, and it almost feels like they're starting over now because they've made this coaching change. So we'll see. Clearly, Bill Belichick, not a fan, and I did hear him say, in fact, Peyton and Eli went over his departure from the New York Jets and how he wrote his resignation. Remember, Bill Parcells left, for those of you who were around then. Bill Parcells resigned, and momentarily for a day, you had Bill Belichick as the head coach, but he wrote his resignation on a napkin. And so Peyton and Eli were talking about that, and he made it very clear he has no love for the Jets. I mean, he said that, and obviously insulted Woody Johnson as well. So I'm not sure Woody will be offering him a job anytime soon.
Surprised to see me here? Well, I am too.
At A-Law Radio, our Facebook page as well. I think we've settled on our candidates for TD of the Week. So those are coming up next. You'll be able to vote very soon. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking a Hail Mary has got to be part of that, even though it's a loss. That's the thing. There's so many good scores every week that it's hard to choose just 4 to put in our poll. But that's why we allow you to write in with your own votes, your own suggestions. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
We begin with the baseball postseason. We'll start in New York, game one of the American League Championship Series.
Now the 0-1 is hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. Oh, it is gone. A Stantonian home run.
John Sterling on Yankees Radio. Yankees take game one of the ALCS, beat the Guardians 5-2. Carlos Rodon allowed a run in three hits while striking out nine over six innings. Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton hit home runs for the Yankees. Game two is Tuesday night in New York. Now to Los Angeles.
It's 2-2. Diaz sets. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Put it in the books. He finally went to the slider, strikes out Freeman, and the Mets have evened up the National League Championship Series at one game apiece.
Howie Rose on Mets Radio. The Mets win game two of the National League Championship Series as they beat the Dodgers 7-3. Francisco Lindor led off the game with a home run. Mark Vientos capped the five-run second with a grand slam. Game three Wednesday in New York. Now to Monday Night Football. Bills and Jets tied at 20 in the fourth quarter.
Snap by Ferguson, hold by Martin, kick by Bass is up, and it is good. So with 3:43 left, the tie has finally been broken. Bills have the lead, 23-20.
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. The Bills beat the Jets 23-20. Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson underwent successful surgery Sunday night to repair a fractured tibia and fibula. There is no timetable set for his return. Now to the NHL. The Islanders beat the Avalanche by a score of 6-2. In Montreal, Lars Eller scored two goals. Penguins over the Canadiens 6-3. The Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-1. Sam Reinhart with a power play goal and shorthanded goal. Panthers over the Bruins 4-3. In overtime, Senators 8, Kings 7. And Jake Allen with 20 saves. Devils over Utah 3-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown!
Hey, the guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts in the gun, standing at the 50. Ball's at the 45. Barkley to his right. Eagles moving the football. Hurts again in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires. Wide open. Smith. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Devontae Smith.
Hello.
The Detroit Lions.
Lions from their own 48 with a first down. Goff up under center. Single back Montgomery. Jared takes. Tosses to Montgomery. Flips it back to Amon-Ra. He gives it to Goff, who's going to throw downfield. He's got Laporta. Makes the grab. 20, 15, 10, 5. Yes, end zone. Sir. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about a little razzle-dazzle in the Lone Star State? 52 yards.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Second down and three with 1:58 to go. The Bengals line up in a pistol formation with Chase Brown behind Joe Burrow. All goes in motion. They give it to Chase Brown.
Nice.
He's got the first down.
See up
the middle of the field. 10, 5, rolls into the end zone. Touchdown! Bengals with 1:52 to go. And that is coffin nails.
The New York Jets.
Aaron Rodgers in the shotgun. Takes the snap and drops back again. A two-man rush. Steps up in the pocket. Has time. He's just going to heave the ball towards the end zone. Jets a Hail Mary into the end zone. It's tapped around. Alan Lazard. The ball bounces out. He thought he had it for a touchdown. Did he have it? It's a touchdown! It's a Hail Mary touchdown to Alan Lazard before halftime.
Wow.
It is ruled a catch by Alan Lazard in the end zone for a Jet Hail Mary before halftime touchdown.
It was really hard to come up with only four candidates for TD of the week. But we've pulled four that we think should pique your interest. And, of course, if you have other suggestions, other ideas. In fact, I really love Jaden Daniels' first touchdown to Terry McLaurin, back of the end zone, up high, over the top of the Ravens defenders. There's so much traffic there, and yet he finds Terry, who snags it in the back of the end zone for a TD. There were some good scores and some dazzling video from this edition of week six of the NFL, this edition of the NFL weekend. But we have picked four. The Eagles needed a Devontae Smith 45-yard touchdown catch and run to survive in the middle of the fourth quarter to survive the Browns. That's Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles radio. Love, love, love the creativity of Ben Johnson and, of course, the execution by the Detroit Lions in Dallas, where Jared Goff hands off to David Montgomery, who flips the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who then gets it back to Jared Goff for the flea with the flea flicker, and it's over the top to Sam Laporta, who's wide open for a long touchdown. On the Bengals radio network, man, they were desperate for a win. Dan Hoard, Dave Lapham, Chase Brown goes 30 yards into the end zone, ripping off that run to preserve their victory on Sunday Night Football. And then Monday night, same place, MetLife Stadium. I don't know how we can exclude a Hail Mary, especially one that goes 52 yards at the end of a half. And honestly, the Jets, they were trailing by 10 with 21 seconds to go in the first half. That was a huge moment. And Alan Lazard with the helmet catch, a la David Tyree. So you can find those candidates up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours in the next couple minutes. We'll also put the poll up on our Facebook page. We still have to reveal Monday MVP, as is your choice. And yes, you can always write and say, what is wrong with you? Why are you excluding this guy or that guy? How come this player's not in the poll? Are you doing it on purpose? Why don't you like this guy? I hear all of these things on social media. There's other TDs we could use too. How about Najee Harris and his long touchdown run? First time for a Steeler other than Justin Fields with a rushing touchdown this season. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, still haven't talked about Dodgers Mets, so we'll get to that. But also, Dan Campbell weighing in after the loss of his star pass rusher, Aiden Hutchinson, who already had surgery in Dallas. And speaking of Dallas, Mike McCarthy, albeit an hour late, doing his Monday press conference in the wake of calls for his job. Again, that's how you know that it's NFL season. There are calls for Mike McCarthy's job and Mike Tomlin's job. And so there's plenty that we will get to. We've got an update on Tua of sorts. And in Cleveland, will there be a change at quarterback? Can you believe we're through week six? Wowzers. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday morning early. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.